Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, and there is a lot of stuff to talk about. We unintentionally took a week off last week, so I apologize for that. That was mostly my fault.
That was all your fault.
That was actually all my fault.
I was super excited to talk about Hendo last week and how he should be back in the title contention, and I think you just canceled the show because of that.
I did not cancel the show. What I would say, though, you know, we'll spend a minute here and then we'll go into what's more pressing, which is clearly that Ken thinks Andrei Arlovsky is the new heavyweight champion before that even happens. But before we get there, I guess what I would say is it was a spectacular 28-second outing by Dan Henderson if your opponent decides to do all of the wrong things when you're fighting Dan Henderson.
Well, I think Dan forces you into that game plan.
In 20 seconds, and you have no choice but to stand in front of him and let him tee off on your head.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's exactly how it went. So I'm most disappointed that, because I thought we would get a Bisping fight out of this. And Dan says he doesn't want to fight Bisping.
He does not. He says Bisping's old, which I think is a fantastic.
Well, I mean, he's right.
Older than Dan Henderson, who's 67.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, it's just a situation where Dan's going to look for marquee fights. I think that's where he can make the most money right now.
For sure, because you and I both talked about this. Like, it didn't matter really what happened 2 weeks ago. Dan is not a guy that you're going to look for at 85 to start beating Chris Weidman or Anderson Silva or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he needs to look for marquee fights. And I wouldn't even be mad, and I don't think you would. I wouldn't even be mad if these are catchweight fights where, you know, it's just random. Like, does Rich Franklin want to come back? We'll watch that fight.
So does he fight the winner of Kimbo Shamrock? That's what I want to know.
Oh, boy.
We'll do that later.
We will do that later because I can't even possibly think about putting that at the top of the show, especially when we had such an interesting card at UFC 188. We were live from Celebration Cinema to check out the card Mexico City as Fabricio Werdum and Cain Velasquez look to unify the title in what I want to say was surprised. I'm honestly surprised. Not surprised that...
You forgot to mention it was at altitude because nobody else can write an article or mention this fight without saying it's at altitude.
Sorry, as if that was a surprise.
It's at altitude.
It's at altitude. And what that means is that actually Mexico City is a skosh higher than Denver. So, you know, when you talk about the difference between fighting in California and fighting in Denver, there's always the, you know, the heavyweights that run out of gas and pass out and look like Mark Hunt because that was exactly what happened when he fought in Denver.
What did he do to you this weekend to be brought up?
He didn't do anything other than he is the example of somebody who forgot that there was an altitude. That said, Cain shows up 2 weeks before this fight. Clearly wasn't enough, but I don't even know if you put that in Vegas, dude. Werdum just looked like he had his number.
Werdum looked really impressive. Not only did he have his number, but it looked like it's going to be hard for anybody to take this title away from Werdum at this point. And it's really interesting to kind of look at the dynamics, and we joked about it a little bit earlier this week, back and forth on Twitter and in texting. You know, the fact that all these Strike Force guys and girls have essentially taken over a lot of these UFC divisions. Remember, he was a guy that was bounced into Strike Force essentially by UFC years ago, and now he's the defending UFC heavyweight champion, undisputed. You know, he beat Cain Velasquez. He puts us closer, by the way, to that Dos Santos Velasquez four. I've been telling you this for months.
No matter what happens, Eric, we're getting this.
We're getting five fights from those dudes. We're very close to the fourth one. Because there's also been talk this week, obviously, of Dos Santos Werdum, which could be interesting because if Dos Santos wins and Cain beats another guy, he's closer. So, and
what I don't think Dos Santos
beats that Werdum, though.
Dana was on Periscope yesterday and was saying that he's looking at either your boy or Stipe Miocic.
And that's Andrei Arlovsky. And, you know, why not make that fight right now? You want to help establish Werdum. You can... I get it. A lot of people are very surprised that Andrei Arlovsky is right now at number four in the division. But he is number four in the division, and I know it's been a while, but he holds a win over Fabricio Werdum. He holds a win over the current champ.
He totally does. I guess, you know, with Andrei, and maybe I'm just a victim of I cannot shake the Fedor fight. I just can't shake it, and I'm just waiting for that Andre to show up. And
Hoppy Andre, where he likes to hop when he's winning a fight and then just get waylaid.
So I guess, like, and I as I'm saying this out loud, understand I'm a victim of that, where I was 2 years ago screaming about how Robbie Lawler is going to win the championship, and everybody was like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's been doing this for a while, and he's been bounced around from organization to organization before, and then he's got the title. So I don't know why I'm not on the bandwagon with you, but I think both of these guys would be a great matchup for what you and I talk about as far as how are you going to make the most money with these two guys. Clearly, Andre Verdum.
Because is, 6 months ago, you say Andre Arlovsky headline and pay-per-view, everybody would have said you're insane.
They would have deleted this from their phone right now. We have not listening to that podcast anymore.
You could have said that, and everybody would have called us crazy. And now you're in a position where you can realistically make that fight, where you can realistically go, hey, you know what? He's a former UFC heavyweight champion. And all those things you just described about Andre Arlovsky, you could say about Fabricio Werdum a couple months back.
Sure.
Before he finally beats Fedor for that first time. He's a guy that's bounced around, really didn't reach his potential. Boom. Out of nowhere is what it looks like to a lot of fans. The guy's been around forever, but out of nowhere, Fabricio Werdum, he's now the champion. Oh, he's just an interim champion. Just waylaid the champion on Saturday night. The real champion on Saturday night. So he's been impressive. You know, you've got a guy, Andre. I mean, who do you think more people pay to see? Stipe or Andre Arlovsky at this point?
I think hands down you've got Andre Arlovsky. My only concern is I think you could, and maybe I'm a victim, again, of timing. I think you could get one more fight out of Andre to get him on.
Yeah, but do you? Okay, but if you're going to agree with the fact that you might be worried about old Andre showing up, you do it now.
Sure.
You get it done now. You do the Tito Ortiz. You put him in a big championship fight a couple weeks after a win that he wasn't supposed to get, so to speak.
Well,
and you have a position with a current champion that he's beaten the dude. He can walk out there in every single press conference that they do for this fight, which would be coming up around December-ish,
yes,
if the timing works out.
Verdum is on a 6-month suspension because of some injuries.
And obviously he could clear that early,
sure,
with doctors.
Yes.
But we're on a 6-month window. So you could literally have a guy who's the former UFC champion. We've got all the shots of him in the cage with the belt. We've got all the monster fights that he was in. You know, he's one of those, I guess he kind of straddles that, what, pioneer, modern day? Is that what we're calling
it? Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
UFC?
I mean, for sure.
So he obviously straddles some of those old school fans. You know, there are going to be a lot of fans that go, man, he got wiped by Fedor. You know, and Verdum can sit across the table and say that. I beat the guy who wiped you out in Affliction. And then you go back to Arlovsky. Sorry, dude, I beat you. Until the fight happens, I still have beat you. So I don't know how you make a different fight looking at these factors. A, because you've got to try to make the most money and get the most interest from each fighter on your roster. And I don't think you get more interest or more money from Andre Arlovsky than putting him into a title fight right now, where he's literally sitting at number 4 in the world. Remember, there's a lot of casual fans, too. They won't necessarily remember him, but just like when they do the light guys, and I don't know what's going on, I just look at the number next to the guy. I'm like, hey, number 3, all right, that should be a pretty good fight. This fight will be, oh, he's number 4 in the world. Okay, he should be fighting for the championship. So you'll have that on the SportsCenter screen, number 4 fighter in the world. You'll have the fact that he's a former UFC heavyweight champion, and you have the fact that he's beaten the current reigning, undisputed UFC champion. I don't know what else you need to make a title fight. Yes, it doesn't feel like something that we would have been talking about 6 months ago, but is there a better option right now?
Is there a better option? I don't know that there's an argument for that. I think that Andre makes the better case because Andre sells the pay-per-view because for all the things that you said, and you're putting it at a time of year where, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm,
right? This is when the drug testing comes in and mm-hmm, they drop the hammer on all these people. Hani Jason got busted this week and had his win overturned before the crazy stipulations go into effect. But you're going to see more and more and more and more of that. And so, you know, you joked a little bit about the Strikeforce people taking over. That might be a very real thing as half the organization, 200 and some odd fighters, very well could get popped for this at some point in the next 12 months as they switch to this new testing. And you're going to need high-level people that are going to fight at the end of the year. We've been talking about this all year. The front-loading of this could be problematic. Now, the timing works out pretty close. Like you said, if Fabricio can speed up the clearance from a doctor, he could be ready to go by December, because 6 months obviously puts us into December since it's June.
Right.
So it's pretty close for that to be a thing.
Well, and we don't know when Dos Santos is back either, because, I mean, obviously you can make a lot of the same arguments I made as far as the wins and such with Dos Santos, and you've got a guy who was just champion. I just think even Dana White, because you mentioned the Periscope and the things he's been talking about this week, he's not sure, even though Verdum might be injured and might have to work on that knee or whatever, he doesn't seem as injured still as Junior Dos Santos.
Yeah.
We just don't have a timeline on Dos Santos. And when you don't have a timeline on a guy, you can't make a fight. And when it's your heavyweight champion of the world and you just got as much attention as you've seen in a little while, not Ronda Rousey level attention, but a decent amount of attention this past weekend, you got to make sure you try to get your heavyweight champ back in the cage. I mean, that was a dominant performance. That was a great performance for your UFC champion. I mean, this wasn't a one-minute knockout, which some people will knock. I will not, but I understand why some people will knock it. This wasn't a five-round, 25-minute guy basically took you to the ground and didn't do anything fight either. I mean, we saw a fight where Fabricio Werdum did whatever he wanted, then choked a guy out while he was smiling. That's an amazing performance. Right. And well, that's how you would script it if you were Vince McMahon.
Well, and let's remember that this is also a night where the prelim card got you all fired up. You had the fastest submission in UFC history in 23 seconds, followed by Efrain Escudero subbing somebody in 54 seconds. Henry Cejudo stays undefeated, and then you get largely a terribly boring card, right? The Tisha Torres-Angela Hill fight was terrible.
That might be one of the worst women's fights I've ever
seen. Hands down, one of the worst ones I've ever seen. Yair Rodriguez, obviously, and he and Charles Rosa put on a great, very fun performance. Yair vomiting at the end of it obviously got a lot of people to talk on Twitter. But then you had two fights that just weren't awesome at all. I mean, Kelvin Gastelum looked terrible. Nate Marquardt quit on the stool, as he should have.
Right, I mean, and that's good coaching there.
Totally good coaching. That's not what I'm saying, but like, it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. It was a terrible fight with Nate kind of being in the twilight of his career and Kelvin just not looking like Kelvin, and then begging to go down to 170, which I think is a terrible idea. He didn't look, you and I talked about this on Saturday night, he did not look like a dude who was in shape and is going to get down to 170 again.
Well, and rarely do you see, I mean, Dana will speak his mind, but rarely do you see him as blunt as he was with a guy sitting next to him. I mean, Kelvin Gastelum was as far away from Dana as I am from you, which is about 2 feet right now.
Sure.
And Dana spent a good 5 minutes running down the fact that he just couldn't get to weight, and there's no way he's going to fight at that weight. I mean, you know, he did the compliment sandwich, like he started, I love the kid, but this guy hasn't shown he can do the weight, blah, 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 blah. Spends 4 minutes on the fact that he's not even going to let him fight any farther down, and then goes, but I love the kid. And I think Dana genuinely likes him, and he just thinks he needs better managers. He needs better diet. He needs to prove that he can be I don't know what the term is, a thin middleweight, a more in shape middleweight.
Yeah, because he looked terrible.
He looks terrible, but I think he was fine. I think he was fine in the cage, but he's not a guy that looked like he could drop any farther, especially when you go from that middleweight to welter drop. That doesn't seem like something you can do. Yeah, that's a 15-pound drop.
It's a 15-pound drop. And then, you know, you have Eddie Alvarez and Gil Melendez. Everyone expected it to be a war. It certainly was not a war. Eddie got pounded in the first round, and then Gil just got tired for two rounds and lost the decision.
At altitude,
you know, so you had all those things, and then in comes these two guys who deliver a performance, right? Like, Kane threw everything but the kitchen sink in that first 2 minutes, and it just didn't...
No, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen, but you got the fight you wanted. It just, Fabricio was just dominant, and I think, to your point, when we were looking around the theater and everyone's like, I mean, yeah, I'm excited about this. I mean, we had a guy next to us who literally was like, eh, I can't do it anymore. I'm going home.
Well,
right?
I think this speaks to it. And we could talk a little more about this because we talked offline, and I wish we had a chance to get together last week, because I think we saw literally the opposite happen with that Dan Henderson-Tim Bosch fight night.
Totally.
Where you saw good fights. I mean, you know, basically I was on Twitter and I saw, oh, somebody's finished with a spinning back kick. A lot of people were calling it a hook kick or super kick. Like a WWE move?
Yep.
All right, let me flip this on and see what's going on. And then we had good fight after good fight after good fight, which really raised the energy for the night. I told you going into the show prior to that, I had no intention of watching that thing live. I just didn't intend to watch it. I wanted to see Dan Henderson fight. I wanted to see what was going to happen there. I had it set for the DVR. No intention of watching it live. I end up seeing a couple things on Twitter. I end up being able to kind of watch it at home.
Right.
I watched the whole thing. We saw the exact opposite happen with this night. And I get the fact that most people have bought it, so they're still going to watch it. But I think you saw the exact opposite happen. And the UFC can't do anything about it. They didn't know they were going to get the worst women's fight in history. We literally had the bartender in our theater look at me, and she goes, they usually fight this bad? This seems really bad. A very casual observer. She's there for the events when we do them. She thought that was really bad. I'm like, yeah, this is really bad. And you literally saw, you know, we had a buddy. He just, I can't make it through the night. I'll have to catch up with it tomorrow. Because, you know, you go through these fights and you end up getting, you know, I think Marquardt Gastelum, I think they both did what they could in that fight. But I think we got so far behind that it was kind of tough once we got to that title fight. And it's going to look more like boxing, too, I think, as we move forward. And we've said that. These fights are built at the top of the card. If you get lucky, you get some exciting stuff underneath. But you're going to start seeing more and more people, I think, show up for these things and be ready to go at 11. I mean, we beat this time thing probably any more than anybody else right. in this industry has. But, I mean, at a certain point, don't we have to have this main event start at 11? We have to get things going by 11.
I absolutely agree.
I mean,
with
Floyd
you.
Mayweather gets going by 11 when they break pay-per-view. That there, you can't tell me that this UFC fight should be starting after midnight on the East Coast.
Well, I mean, you don't get to see all of the inside stuff, but I would love to see, because they clearly have the data, mm-hmm. I would love to see the sheer number of casual fans that tune into, and I'll compare apples to apples, that tune into a Fox card,
mm-hmm.
right? Versus a Fox Sports 1 card that starts at 10.
Right. Right. Or let's do apples to apples. Let's look at a Fox Sports card. We get them on occasion where the main events start at 8.
Sure.
I'm betting you get a better response than you do with some of these later ones. And, you know, you can say, oh, it's this main event. It's this other thing. I mean, other than this, there's nothing else that tries to do this, that tries to get you to buy in after midnight on the East Coast.
Well, and that, I mean, we got home. You and I live the same distance away from the theater. We got home at 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
Right.
Like, and that was after a short title fight.
Right.
Relatively short title right. fight.
Could
it was three
been,
rounds.
Could have been, yes. Could have
there
been
could have
two,
been another good another, 20 minutes on
yeah,
there.
For sure. So, yeah, we've beat that thing to death. But I think Fabricio Werdum did what he needed to do to leave everybody on what Vince McMahon or you would, as a wrestling fan, would call a happy note. You know, where if you have a mm-hmm. kind of a lackluster pay-per-view, you let him go with the whatever they expected the finish to be. And that was an unexpected finish, but people got what they came to see, a guy finish another guy in a title fight to unify the titles. We didn't go to a judge's card, so we have to discuss whether or not
he really won.
Kane did enough in this round and Werdum did enough in that round. We know handily that Kane looked rusty. He looked out of shape. He looked like altitude was affecting him. Well, and he did not look like the guy. Going into it, I think everybody thought that Kane was this undefeated guy who only got beat by equipment in his gym, right? Like he was hurt all the time by things around him. The Internet of Things would put him in the hospital, but not a human being.
At a certain point, a guy like it doesn't matter how good you are. You just haven't been in the cage for so long. But didn't we do the math? Wasn't it 13 months or something?
No, it was over almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I mean, you can't discount the fact that Werdum's been on a tear. That Werdum's been fighting. I mean, he's been free of injuries for those 2 years. I mean, I think you would have seen that Cain Velasquez have a tough time with a lot of dudes, and rightly so. Maybe that's what he needed to kind of shake him back into place. And maybe another 12 months from now, we'll be talking about, hey, can you believe what Cain Velasquez just did to the guy that beat him a year ago? I mean, we could easily be there, but I think I'm certainly not going to attribute the altitude as much as many others have, but I certainly think there's an issue there when you haven't been in a cage that long that can be exacerbated.
Well,
and I think we saw that.
And it's interesting to look at this case, Ken, and I wasn't really planning on going here, but it's our show, so we can. You know, it's interesting to look at this case. Cain Velasquez out of the cage for 2 years, Werdum continuing to grow and evolve as a fighter and wipes the floor with him for 2.5 rounds. What does John Jones look like out of the cage for 2 years?
I think we've talked about that. And I, a lot of people are just giving him this pass. Whenever he gets back, he's going to go fight whoever's got that belt and go get it back. And, you know, we still don't know legally how long this is going to take. But we're already starting to hit that point where John Jones hasn't been in a fight, what, in 6-7 months?
Yes.
I think we're getting close to that at some point. Whatever happens, if he were clear tomorrow and rehire tomorrow, he's not going to fight for another 3 months. So we're looking at a 9-month layoff or something like that. I'll go back and look at the dates later. But I think if you look at this, this should open people's eyes up. And I mentioned that in the theater when we were talking about this. I said, yeah, look, there's John Jones. If he's out for a long time, that's what he could look like.
Sure.
Because you just aren't in the cage. You just aren't able to train the way you normally train, even if you train. If he's in prison, I mean, which is a real possibility. I don't think it'll happen, but it's a possibility. Guy can't train like he's been trained. It doesn't matter what kind of freak you are. Think about Cain Velasquez. Did anybody think a year or two ago anybody could beat him?
No. I mean, I said it two weeks ago, right?
And handled him.
Sure.
Handled him. So, I mean, it's certainly something that we can think about, and I think that should open more people's eyes to it. And I also think it should open the UFC's eyes. I really think John Jones, I think, for two reasons. One, because they saw this fight with Cain Velasquez, and they should know better. Now, obviously, you had the title holder, and you had the interim title holder. You had to try to you couldn't bring him back as a champion, let him fight somebody else, and let your guy keep an interim belt.
Right.
But what you can do is, if a guy's stripped of a title, like John Jones is have him fight somebody else to get back in the cage.
And I absolutely would.
And I think that's one reason they should do that. The second reason is because if they don't, that suspension really didn't mean anything. He just got to come back and fight for the title again. And if you want that suspension to mean anything, then that's a better way to go. And I think it's a more practical way to go when you see what happens to dudes when they come out of an injury, or maybe in John's case, out of prison because he went to jail and he's not been in the cage for a while.
All right. And when we come back, Ken's super excited for tonight because it's his favorite fight of the month, as Kimbo and Ken Shamrock are going to step in the cage.
All the drugs. We will also get all the drugs.
We will also talk about the first time in UFC history that a title fight will be defended on Fight Pass. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want a response there?
It's next on Woo! Way of the Warrior. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Talked a little UFC 188, Cain Velasquez losing his title to Fabricio Werdum, and told you what should be next, which is, of course, Andre Arlovski and Werdum in December. We move on to this weekend, though, as Strikeforce, not Strikeforce, wow, it's one of those days.
Bellator.
It's Bellator, is having a... I would call it a huge event for them, as Kimbo Slice.
And I might watch this live.
And well, I mean, you know, Kimbo Slice, Ken Shamrock in the cage tonight.
Wait, this isn't pay per view, is it?
This is not pay per view.
Oh, I might watch this live.
It's free on Spike.
It's on Spike?
It is on Spike.
I might watch this live.
Bobby Lashley also on the card. Michael Chandler on the card. So if you're a Bellator fan, some big names on this card. They've been rolling out, like Fedor has been doing some fan stuff. They did a fan workout earlier this week, and Fedor was at Dave and Buster's. Hanging out.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he was.
That's what Fedor's doing now. He's hanging out at Dave and Buster's
for wings
for Bellator.
Clearly for the wings. So what do you, I mean? Online all week, the fair amount of the MMA luminary community has been asking how fired up people are for this fight in sort of a jesting manner. I know that you've said you're fired up, but sometimes with you, I can't really tell.
No, I am. I'm excited. Well, I mean, it's a little disheartening. You see Ken Shamrock in that trailer without water, and then you see, you know, I think as MMA Fighting put it, he's fighting a guy with gold teeth. It's a little strange with this buildup, but I mean, it's certainly a fight I think we all wanted to see before. I mean, nobody who wants to watch the fight or is interested in this fight is pretending that this is some type of world title eliminator. And I feel like with a lot of the MMA community, like if it's not a world title eliminator, I don't need to worry about it. Are these guys fighting for rankings and for their just place in the industry? Sometimes I don't care. I just want to see what the guy who fought in a backyard would do against the guy who legitimately was breaking everybody's legs back in 1995.
But then failed to make this fight the first time because he slipped on a banana peel and cut his leg open.
Again, I don't care about that. I want to see these guys fight. I don't care if Bobby Lashley runs in during this fight since he's on the card. Maybe he'll run in at the end. I don't care. And you laugh and wait until like the end of the night if it happens. But I'm just interested in seeing these guys fight. Sometimes that's all it takes is somebody interested to fight. Let's not forget the biggest rating the Ultimate Fighter's ever done. Ever done. This isn't, oh, back then they did this big. This is ever done was when Kimbo Slice fought. That guy has some money-making ability. That guy is a guy you can put in the cage, and people are going to put their eyeballs on him. Well, let's not forget, as much fun as we make of the Elite XCs and the Strike Force and that, and they did. They put their eggs all in one basket, and it came crashing to the ground. But they made a lot of money with Kimbo Slice before they went out of business. Whether they spent it properly later obviously is an argument.
Sure. And I mean, this just speaks to what you and I have talked about in the interesting discussions about can the UFC get over the NFL, right? And this is obviously one of those cases where they're pulling an audience from YouTube, mm-hmm. right, who have watched all of Kimbo's backyard fights.
Well, you have YouTube. You have a network audience from CBS a couple of years ago. There sure. were a lot of people who watched MMA
prior,
the first
you know, like,
time. Yeah.
You know, how you're getting this audience onto The Ultimate Fighter is a lot of it's from more so from YouTube than it was from CBS. But now you've got both of those things to build on to bring them to Spike for a free fight on Friday nights when I don't believe NBC's doing their boxing thing this weekend. I think it's next weekend. So it's a pretty clear schedule for getting fight fans to tune in for what you and I know is a power play for any MMA organization. It's why the UFC essentially has two free outlets. Well, yeah, two free outlets because you got to pay for Fight Pass, but two free outlets on Fox Sports 1 and Fox to get their product out to then get you to pay for a pay-per-view or get you to upcharge to Fight Pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bellator getting these two guys on, I think is it's a fun fight, like you said. It's not an eliminator. It's not, you know, there shouldn't be a whole lot of people pining to find out who's going to be, you know, the king of all kings and fight for a title next week, let alone maybe this could be an absolutely terrible fight, but you don't know until these two guys step in the ring and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, too. And again, I've always been that guy advocating the fact that I don't think anybody should be on TRT or drugs because I think it forces everybody to do it. But, you know, Ken Shamrock's the other side of the coin, he says, hey, you know, I'm keeping my career together. I need to fight. I need to do this. And I've done some of these things before. Now, I think officially nobody's on anything for this fight, right?
Sure. Right. Officially, yes.
Officially. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. And if you're an MMA fan and you tell me you're not watching this fight, I don't believe you.
You don't believe which part, that they're a fan or they're watching?
That they're watching. Because I think, but I believe that half of them will say they're not going to watch this. I'm not going to mess with that. I don't need that. Well, I think you watch. I think you want to see where things have come along.
What do you think happens? What's your sense?
I have no idea. No idea what happened in this fight. I am not even going to pretend to know what's going to happen with these two dudes. These two guys fighting anybody else, I say they lose. They're fighting each other, though. So I don't know. I look at this, and I think obviously you look at this as an MMA match. You should think Ken Shamrock should win. Because as old as he is, and as long as he's gone without a real win, I mean, he's still one of those guys that's been in there and really done it. Kimbo's, you know, he's had some good fights. But, I mean, we go back to that Ultimate Fighter episode. And, again, we know Roy Nelson's even better now than we thought he was then. We thought he was one of the better unsigned heavyweights back then. We know now he's probably one of the top, you know, 10 heavyweights. But you saw what he did to Kimbo Slice, which was negate every single thing. It was boring as hell. I hate Roy Nelson for it. But I don't fault him for going in there, not taking any damage, and basically punching Kimbo Slice until he walked out of the cage.
Right.
Did he hurt him at all? Not a lick in that fight. He hurt Kimbo as much as I would hurt Kimbo in a fight. But he won the fight. So I would have to, you know, looking at these two guys just from that perspective, think that Ken Shamrock still, old school MMA guy, pancrase guy, old school UFC guy, he's been fighting his whole life in these types of fights, I would think he should win. But then you go to Kimbo, who's actually, you know, perceptually and I think even literally the younger dude in this fight.
Well, and here's what's interesting about this. Both of these guys, the last time they fought was in 2010. Both of them lost. Mm-hmm. Kimbo loses to Matt Mitrione. Mm-hmm. Shamrock loses to his hamstring.
Yes.
Kimbo's last two rounds against Matt Mitrione, it's fighting 5 years since his last fight for both of those guys. The difference, I think, or the X factor, I think, is that Kimbo's still tied to American Top Team, where Ken's still tied to Ken.
Right, well, yeah, like, the Lion's Den, which when Ken was still at the end of his prime was a problem.
For sure, as far as evolution, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, but what happens if you sit in a gym for 5 years at American Top Team?
I mean, you would think you get better. Has he really been doing that, though?
I don't know, but it's been 5 years. You've been tied to American Top Team for most of that time, training with some of the best in the world. I think you might – I could be totally wrong. I'm just trying to do some supposition here. I think you might be surprised at what he looks like 5 years later.
Is he better? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think maybe he can actually fight. You know, those backyard fights, he was just – the bigger guy who wasn't afraid to get hit. And that's, I mean, you know this, and when it comes down to street fights, that's half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different in MMA when the other guy across the cage doesn't care.
Right. Yeah, and, and these are all the reasons this is going to be interesting to watch. This is going to be interesting to watch and see. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to stay up and watch it live, but I'm telling you, I'm more interested. Who did Tito fight?
Stefan Bonner.
See, I don't...
Which was terrible.
I still don't remember who won that fight.
It was Tito.
Was it Tito?
It was terrible.
It was terrible?
It was terrible.
I just found out today Tito Ortiz won that fight. But this other fight, I want to know who's going to win with Ken Shamrock and Kimbo, because here's the other weird difference too. And maybe this is why in my head I can carve out a spot for these two guys. I feel like when Tito and Stefan are fighting, that they haven't quite let go of the fact that they might one day be back in that ranking.
Sure,
picture.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah.
I don't think either of these two dudes over here are fooling themselves or anybody else. They're just going to go out there. They're going to have a fight. They're both interesting personalities, and the outcome is certainly something that's up in the air.
Well, it might make for a more fun fight if they truly are just going into fight, right? Mm-hmm. If they truly are of the mindset,
right.
Like, I want to keep my Ken. I want to keep my career going. I'm Ken Shamrock. This is a fight I wanted to take. I got injured. Seth Petruzzelli got his 15 minutes of fame off mm-hmm. of this fight. Now it's my turn to do that. That's a different animal than going, can't wait to get past Kimbo so I can fight for the title in Bellator, which I have not heard
right.
this
and
week.
I really think, well, you know what? I wouldn't even be that mad about a Bellator title, Brun. But I'm just saying, with these guys in general, they're both probably going to come to fight, too. You know, I don't see Ken Shamrock going in there and going for a single leg and trying to lay on Kimbo like Roy Nelson did. And again, I don't fault Roy Nelson for that. I see Ken Shamrock, you know, and you've seen it before, as a guy who wants to go out there and make a statement and go out there and have a fight. You know, he's an athlete, but he's not in this for the athleticism. He's in it for the fight. And I think that's what's going to make this interesting. And this should be something at the top of the card that is fun to watch. I think there's very few times that we look at a fight card and go, you know, they're selling fun. Will it be fun? I mean, it could be a flash knockout. We don't know.
Sure.
But that's what this card is selling. Hey, at the top of the card, hey, guys, it's at least going to be fun. We're not Ben Henderson trying to squeak by after five rounds, and we're not going to be a chess match where we have to tell you for the first three rounds they're feeling each other out. This is going to be a fight at the top of the card, and that's where we put it.
Yeah, and it's on Friday night. Tonight, Spike TV.
When did Lashley fight last?
I'm
a little bit of a sucker for some of those wrestler guys. You know, remember when we thought he could do as well as Brock?
Right. And then
we were
sadly wrong about that.
Not
While you're looking that up, the other thing this weekend, we had to Fight Pass for the first time ever. The strawweight championship will be defended on Fight Pass as Johanna Jędrzejczyk takes on Jessica Penne. Jędrzejczyk undefeated 9-0. You remember her last as she absolutely destroyed Carla Esparza. Penne 10-2, looking to see if she can win the strawweight title. This is a test for Jędrzejczyk to see. She's been talking all week on how she wants to be the Ronda Rousey of the strawweight division. And if the same Jędrzejczyk that showed up against Carla Esparza shows up, I think Jessica Penne has her hands full. What's interesting to me, and I told you this last week when they were running the commercials on UFC 188, it's like, if you want to know where you stand in the lexicon of the organization, like, they're putting your title fight on a place where, I mean, are there even a million Fight Pass users?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Invicta, you've basically become Invicta with your title fight. And I get what they're doing, but when is this on? I don't even know when this is on. This is not appointment viewing at this point.
No, it's not. I mean, they did the weigh-ins this morning at 10 a.m., so I'm imagining it's tomorrow afternoon, right? Yeah, so like 2 or 3.
That's going to be a tough one. We'll see what we can do, though, because, I mean, there's the other thing, too, is I know Dennis Siver's on the card. That Kawajiri fight could be interesting, sort of, but there's nothing else on this card that's got anybody going, oh, I need to see that. So it'll show a little bit what the strawweight division's going to do.
Well,
I don't know. Are you watching it live?
I don't think so. No, I mean, I like Jędrzejczyk a lot, but, you know, again, you're putting her in a place that's not super easy. You can tell me all day long that you're putting it on the first screen, you're putting it on the phone, but you're putting it on the phone in the middle of a Saturday afternoon on Father's Day weekend. And I think, you know, when Joe...
No offense intended, but a lot of those first screen guys tend to be kind of douchey about their methods anyways.
Well, but I mean, you know, that would be... But wouldn't that be the argument, right? Like, I'm making it easier for you. You don't need to have a TV. You
right,
can see
exactly.
it anywhere, right?
You can watch it like on 5 whole inches of screen.
I know
you can put it on TV.
Right, yeah, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, you're putting it on a very difficult weekend where people are going to be out, especially, you know, in the United States. When Joe was here, he would say these are not for us. This clearly proves that those products actually exist, as it's, you know, it's a German card.
Well, and maybe we see, too, what these guys can do and what these girls can do. Because, I mean, if she's still dominant, you put her – you can't hurt this card, so to speak, by putting it on Fight Pass. Because I think what would really hurt it is if you put it on TV and nobody watches. You put it on TV and nobody watches, then everybody knows. You put it on Fight Pass and nobody watches. Well, it was on Fight Pass. It was kind of tough to find.
Right.
Because if she's still super dominant and they need to kind of keep running with this strawweight division, you decide at some point, okay, well, who are we putting her next to? Are we putting her next to a title fight on Fox Sports? Are we putting her next to a title fight on Fox?
Well, because
are we going to line her up with Ronda Rousey and keep everybody who's going to watch the women's fights
for me
interested?
That would be the ideal, right? If she plows through Jessica Penne and you do this one other time, right? She fights maybe at the end of the year because Ronda's going to fight in August, which means Ronda won't fight for the rest of this year likely. So maybe you do that for that Super Bowl card. You get Ronda male title fight and Johanna all on the same card. I think that would be a great win for her.
Put some eyes on that.
And a way to put some eyes on her, because if she's just destroying people, you want to get that out there. Because unlike Jose Aldo, I mean, we've been talking about this. Conor McGregor has made Jose Aldo more money than Jose Aldo made his entire career.
Yes.
Because you have a foil who's doing all the talking for you and selling the fight seemingly by himself. Johanna Jędrzejczyk has a similar issue, right? Except for it's harder because it's a women's division.
And it's a very light women's division,
and a very light women's division where nobody is fighting like she's fighting.
Right. And, well, I mean, you've got the lightest men's division where they can't seem to make a dollar on one of the best fighters in the world, which is Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson. Yeah, so I think it would be a nice play for them if she plows through Jessica Penne, which I think she will.
Dana could go the Mighty Mouse route and just yell at us for not watching her.
He could yell at us, which he
I know what you want!
He likely will. He'll get on Periscope and yell about how he doesn't know what we want. We told you. By not watching. That's how that works.
Maybe she can fight on Periscope next. We can all just do that.
Live on Meerkat. Johanna Jędrzejczyk.
We get that one of 8,000 notifications until you shut them off when you get Periscope.
And yes, for sure, which I did instantaneously. So that is going on this weekend. The other news of note before we take off for this Father's Day weekend, Gil Melendez, he fought last weekend. He's already got another fight. Bobby Green is out against Al Iaquinta, and Gil Melendez is in. So Gil Melendez, Al Iaquinta.
I love this fight, by the way.
Me too.
And this is a fight we wouldn't necessarily think we would have seen, but Al's been on such a rise, and Gil has kind of had some stumbles. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to bash Gil Melendez, but, you know, a year ago, again, we talked about Andrei Arlovsky earlier in the first segment. A year ago, Gil Melendez against Al Iaquinta, we would have been like, what?
Yeah, what happened?
What?
What happened to Gil Melendez?
Right, exactly. But the steps have all kind of lined up, and this should be a really fun fight. And this is going to tell us a lot about Al. We've been paying a lot of attention to him since that win over Kevin Lee. And it was a very impressive win. Not as many people, I think, noticed how impressive it was. I think because we know how impressive Kevin is.
Yeah, because we know what Kevin can do. So.
So we knew how impressive that was. Kind of been keeping an eye on him. This is going to be a really good gauge to see where Al Iaquinta is. And, you know, this is a tough fight. Props to Gil jumping right in there. Because there's not a lot of win for Gil in this.
No.
Because even though Al's been on the rise, he beats Al Iaquinta. Well, of course, Gil Melendez was supposed to beat Al Iaquinta.
But I think, I mean, given where we are in that division, you need a win, right? And,
yes.
And maybe he thinks this is a win for him. Maybe he sees a hole or sees that maybe he can get Al Iaquinta to do what Diego Sanchez did and just engage, and stand on the middle logo and let Gil do what Gil's good at. I don't know, but I love this fight too. So it's July 15th, San Diego. As always this weekend, especially tonight when Ken and I have had enough bourbon to make Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock enjoyable. Catch us on Twitter at Wow Show.
Buy bourbon stock is what we're saying.
Buy stock in your favorite bourbon, and we will get on Twitter tonight at Wow Show. It is Way of the Warrior. Have a great weekend. Have a great Father's Day if you are a father. If you are not a father, get your father something for Father's Day. Have a wonderful
or
weekend.
Or just leave him alone. That's an underrated gift sometime for Father's Day.
That is an underrated
Day.
Yes. Just leave him the hell alone.
Just come give him a card.
And leave.
A hug, and then just wander away.
Go someplace for 2 days.
Just for a day. Just come on. Just for a little bit.
It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.